So this week is our third week of a series called Ridiculous. We're finishing it up today. And throughout this series, we've just been kind of talking about some ridiculous miracles that God did in the Old Testament through a prophet named Elisha. So last week, Jordan talked about how God worked an amazing miracle, just using a little tiny bit of olive oil to end up saving an entire family from slavery. So that was a really cool miracle. And as we sort of wrap this up, it's kind of cool to think about Elisha's life, to think about how God used him to save a family, different things like that, and how just kind of crazy his life was, that he was able to do all these miracles, and that somebody wrote it down, and we get to read about it today. Because if somebody were to write down a story about my life, if I were to have a book, you know, whatever, Kyle, and it had chapters, you know, verses and all that, my book would be pretty lame. Like, let's be honest, right? My life is not nearly as exciting, because the coolest thing I've done, I think, to date, is come in second place at the Summit basketball tournament. So, it's okay. I forgive you. You know, I'm a youth pastor, sort of. So I forgive. I do that. Anyways, it's cool to think that even though our lives might not be as cool or as exciting, as crazy as Elisha's, that God still wants to use us anyways. So that's cool. Anyways, this week, we find ourselves again with Elisha, and we're talking about another ridiculous miracle. Although when you first read this miracle, when we first go through it, you might not think it's that exciting. You might go, Kyle, this miracle is not as ridiculous as last week or the week before. Why are we talking about it? But I promise that by the end of this, you'll think it's pretty ridiculous. So the title of today's talk is Finding Your Spiritual Edge. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today. That's going to be the overarching topic. But then the theme that we're going to talk about, this is your first fill-in if you're taking notes. The theme for today is God helps us find what we didn't mean to lose. God helps us find what we did not mean to lose. And shout out to Andrew Lang, by the way, and Maverick last week, because I can't spell or read, apparently, because I, like, on my outline, originally when I first typed it, I spelled that as loose. I left an extra O in there. And then Andrew caught it and was like, hey, Kyle, guess what? You can't spell. So thank you, Andrew, for being so humble and correcting me. But yeah, God helps find what we didn't mean to lose. So how many of you guys lose stuff? Let's be honest. How many of you lose things, right? All of us do. You guys are in high school. I'm sure you lose stuff all the time. Specifically your homework, probably. How many of you guys lost something at Summit when we were there a couple weeks ago? Only a couple of you? Okay, that's good. So what are some of the most common things that you guys lose? Shout it out. What is it? You lost two iPhones. That's a record, I think. What about over here? What are some things you lose? Luke, what do you lose? You lost an expensive coat at Summit. Awesome. Chase? You lost a bet. Chase did lose a bet. And I don't want to talk about that because that bet almost got me in a lot of trouble. So we're gonna move on. Yeah. That's right. Josh Haley lost his guitar last week. He just left it at school. So, oh, we left it outside. That's right. Good job, Josh. Anybody in the front? You guys lose things? What? You lost three wallets. That's insane. That's a lot of wallets. So if you combine those wallets and those phones, you get something crazy. So you know how there's this new, like, fad going through a youth group of the wallet phone case? Yeah, there's some of you that have it. Caitlin Havner's like, I have one, it's so cool. And like Max Smith has one, and Gary started the revolution, it's so cool. Yeah, it's like a phone purse. Thank you, Steve. I'm glad that you and I are together on this one. Because really, you know, the way that I see that, the wallet phone case, I just see that as like the easiest, most efficient way to lose two of your most important life items at the same exact time. Let's be honest, right? Like, you have your wallet and your phone. So that'd be me, like taking them and putting them together because it doesn't close, right? And then, like, leaving it somewhere. This is not good. I don't know. Anyways, I lost something that was pretty important to me a couple weeks ago. And that was, you guys, for those of you who drive, right, you realize that your car has a little piece of paper that says that it's licensed, that it's yours and you own it, and you didn't steal it, right? You guys know that piece of paper? So a couple weeks ago, I was like a good citizen. I was filing my taxes, you know, and because I'm a big boy, I was doing it by myself. I was like clicking the buttons, but my dad was right next to me, just to make sure, didn't mess up. So I was doing that, and one of the things you can do to maybe get a tax deduction is show that you own a car, because you register it and you pay fees and stuff like that. Didn't help me out at all, but I tried. So I went and got this really super important piece of paper out of my car, brought it inside, typed all my information in, and then literally, because I wasn't thinking, I was like, oh, this is really important. Here, I'll put it in my backpack. And so throughout the course of the next, like, 2 weeks, it was just lost in my room because my room looked like a tornado had hit. So then I was cleaning it this weekend, and all of a sudden, I'm like digging through a stack of papers, and then I see this really official-looking document. And I'm like, oh, what could this be? And I look at it, and I have one of those uh-oh moments, where you're looking at something, and all of a sudden you realize exactly what it is, and you're like, oh my goodness, I have been driving a stolen car for 2 weeks. It's not super ideal. And then I was thinking about this too. It's like, I give a lot of you guys rides sometimes, right? Like I gave Fish and Tyler a ride this morning. Pretty awesome. But imagine that I had gotten pulled over, if I had given you a ride and I gotten pulled over without this license in my car. And then you were going home to your parents and mom and dad are like, hey, what did you guys do at church today? And your response is, yeah, you know, I was with my youth pastor and he got pulled over and the police thought they stole his car. So not a fun phone call to have with your parents. But anyways, losing things aren't fun, right? They're not. But the theme that we're talking about today is God helps us find what we didn't mean to lose. So keep that in mind. So we're going to jump in now to 2 Kings. That's where Elisha's story is written down. And so at this point in time, Elisha is sort of like a professor. He's teaching at a school. And so he has all his little prophet students with him. And the school is running out of space. There's just too many of them to fit in one area. So that's where we're going to jump in. So starting in verse 1, it says, the students of the prophet spoke to Elisha, and they said, the place where we are staying with you is too small for us. Allow us to travel to the Jordan Valley, cut down some trees, and build a house there for ourselves. So what I envision here is at the office. If you've come to the High Point Church office, you've been in our little student section, you realize the room is, it's not that big. It's like about the same size as the stage, like if you make it a big rectangle, and you know, you put a desk in there, and that takes up space. And then, so on Tuesdays, all of us get together. And so Gary and Jordan and myself and Maverick and Ryan Maxfield are all in this little itty-bitty sardine can of an office. And, you know, Ryan Maxfield takes up the space of like 3 humans because he's so tall. So that adds up. But it's so packed in there that whenever Maverick gets there, we just kind of make him sit on the floor behind the door just because there's no space for him. But so he gets back at us, right? He's not just like, oh yeah, fine, I'll sit behind the door. So he sits over there in the corner and just like farts the whole time. So it's like filling up the room with noxious gas. And so that's kind of what I imagine when they're telling this story. The guy's like, dude, it is so full in here. We have got to go build something. We got to get out of this. We got to make a little more space. So then Elisha, we're going to continue, says, Elisha says, go. And then one of the students says, will you please travel with us, your servants? So Elisha says, yeah, I'll go with you. So Elisha travels with them, and they cut down trees, and they arrive at the Jordan. Now, while one of the students was cutting down a tree, the iron of the axe broke off and dropped into the river. Just imagine that happening. Sometimes in the Old Testament, I think we can just blow through things and not realize how funny that would kind of be. Imagine if you're like out in the woods, and like you're like, oh, I'm going to be the first person to chop this tree down, and it's going to be great. And then all of a sudden, the axe just goes sailing out of your hands. And I just kind of imagine it like flying in slow motion, and the prophet being like, oh no, my axe is flying away. So that's how I envision the story because it makes it more funny. But then, so he's freaking out. He turns to Elisha and says, oh no, master, this axe isn't mine. I borrowed it. So that just adds to it. It wasn't even his. He borrowed it. So then Elisha responds and says, well, where did you drop it in the river? So then the man showed Elisha where it dropped into the water. And then Elisha took a stick and tossed it into the river. Kind of random. But then it says the iron axe floated to the surface. So that's really cool. Then Elisha turns to the student and says, get your iron out of the water. And the man grabbed it. So a cool miracle because I've never made iron float by using wood before. So that's really cool in and of itself. But it does seem kind of random, right? Like, so he lost an axe. Cool. I don't know why we're talking about this today. Kyle, explain it to me. But this miracle actually explains some of the, like a pretty big piece about who God is and how much he actually cares about us. So your next fill and your next way you can take notes is this point, and that God cares about the little details of our lives. God cares about the little details of our lives. When I first read this story, I'm going to admit, I thought when I was like, oh, he broke the axe. I was like, okay, cool. Like when you use stuff, it breaks, right? When you're building something or you're just using, like it breaks. Like I break pens or, you know, whatever. Sometimes you guys will like sit in one of these chairs and it will like fall apart because you lean back in it too far. I do that all the time. And like when you lose an axe, it's like, well, just go to Home Depot, go see Steve at Home Depot and buy something new. Like, right? It's just that easy. But to him, it wasn't that simple. It was a really big deal for him to lose that axe head because, like we said, he borrowed it. It wasn't even his. So, of course, he did not want to return something that was broken or missing. And as a student of a prophet back in the day, you're very much like a college student where you don't have a lot of money. So he couldn't just, like, you know, whip out a bunch of coins or, you know, whatever money they used and just, you know, walk down to Ace Hardware and go grab a new one, right? It was a big deal to lose something of that value to him. But God sees that as a big thing, even though we might see it as like, well, he just, you know, it broke, it's okay, you can mend it, put it back together, whatever. God sees that as a big deal, and God cares about the little things that happen in our lives. So even for us, it's like some days you wake up and you're just like, man, I'm not feeling today. I have a headache, I'm kind of sick, I have a sore throat, I'm not really excited about going to school or whatever today, I'm just not that excited about it. God wants to know about that. Sometimes we can see that and go, well, that's just, it's just a little thing, I just have to get through it, it's okay, I won't bother God with that today. But God wants to know. God cares about those little details of our lives. If you have a test that's coming up that you're kind of stressing out about, God wants to know. For some of you seniors who are like, I'm getting ready to go to college, like God wants to know about that. God wants us to communicate the little things in our lives. You know, pet gets sick, dog gets sick, right? God cares about that. Cat gets sick, you can send God an email. He'll get back to you eventually. Just kidding. But the moral is that God cares about these little details in our lives. Nothing is too small for God. He wants us to bring it all to him. So the second part of this miracle is a little bit more symbolic. So we said the title was Finding Your Spiritual Edge, right? So axes, if you have an axe, it has an edge, right? It's got a blade, right? Yeah, okay, cool. Making sure you're still breathing. I can only see the front row, so I'm not really sure what's going on in the back. Except for Fish, because he keeps talking, so that's cool. So axes have edges, right? And when the axe went sailing into the river, he lost his edge, correct? So in that same way, the story is sort of telling us how we can lose our spiritual edge and how to get our spiritual edge back. So the sort of working definition I have for a spiritual edge, because I'm sure you're like, Kyle, what is a spiritual edge? I have no idea what that is. So the working definition I have for that is our spiritual edge is whatever keeps us sharp and moving forward with the gospel. So basically, are you excited about your relationship with Jesus? Are you excited about going to church? Are you excited about serving? Excited about being involved? Or is church life to you just kind of, bleh, whatever? Like, where are you at on that spectrum? Because there are times in our lives, as Christians, where our spiritual edges are very sharp. Like after a camp, when you're on that camp high that we sort of talk about sometimes, you're really just super excited to get really involved, really turn your life around. That's one time when our spiritual edge is really sharp. Sometimes right after you get baptized, you take that big spiritual step forward of showing everybody that you are a Christian. That's a time. And when you first make that decision to follow Jesus, that's another big time when your spiritual edge is really sharp. You're really just excited and passionate about Jesus and about your spiritual relationship with him. But as time goes on, as we live our lives, as things get busy, whatever, our spiritual edges can dull. Right? We can lose our spiritual edge. And this happens to everybody. Where we're just not as excited about church. We're not as excited about Jesus. We don't pursue a relationship with him. Church just kind of gets put on the back burner, and we don't think actively about it. This happens to everybody. And so today we're going to talk about how we can work to get our spiritual edge back. So there are two key steps I want to talk about. The first one is we need to be honest about where we lost it. We need to be honest. If you've ever lost your spiritual edge, I'm sure you can point to one particular event or series of events or something that happened in your life. You can point to one moment when you're like, this is the moment that pulled me away from God. This is the moment that pulled me away from church. This is when I decided that church was irrelevant to me and I didn't care anymore. Some ways are like, maybe it was the wrong group of friends that you joined and that's what started pulling you away. Maybe it was just some family issues and you're like, God, I don't understand why my family's going through this. You start having some doubts, and that starts pulling you away. Maybe it's a big loss, and you're grieving, and you just don't understand, and so you're not connected. And this is a big one, and maybe this is you, is that somebody at church burned you. Somebody at a church or this church burned you, did something that was really damaging to you, that really, really hurt you. And now you're thinking, fine, you know what, if Christians are going to be like that, I'm out. I don't need this. So whatever that reason is, whatever that event was, we need to be honest about what happened and specifically where we lost it. For me, it's busyness. Busyness is the reason, is the area where I lose my spiritual edge the most easily. So for those of you who don't know, I work at Tacoma Boys. It's a pretty fancy, cool little produce market next to Costco. It's great to work there. We sell tons of apples. It's wonderful. But there was about a month period where I was working 7 days a week. So I worked like 30 days in a row. That was a lot of days to work in a row. And don't ever do that. Don't ever work that much. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's just not good. But anyways, I was working so much. I spent so much time physically at work that a lot of things in my life that really mattered started to sort of get put on the back burner. I sort of put them at the end of my to-do list, and I didn't really care about them anymore. And reading my Bible was the first one. For that month period, I can count like on one hand how many times I read my Bible outside of church. I basically quit hanging out with all my housemates. For those of you who don't know, I live with Gary and Jordan and Lindsay and little baby Jad and Kevin. I didn't forget you because I love you. I didn't hang out with any of those people. And those are some of the people that keep me the sharpest, that are always, we're like pushing each other spiritually. Didn't hang out with any of them. I just sort of grew to a point where I was so busy and so tired that I really just wasn't that passionate about church. I had the mindset of, okay, I have to get through today. I have to get through today, not that I'm excited about being in the moment today. And so if you're somebody who struggles with busyness and like not always reading your Bible, and you're like, Kyle, I just feel bad that I'm not that good at it. Like, that's okay. Like, even as somebody who works for a church, I struggle with that too. So it's okay. Like, we're in the same boat here. So for me, it's busyness. Busyness is my area. And I also got the chance to hang out with some of you this week. And there was a student who shared her story. And she was able to point out the specific time in her life where she lost her spiritual edge, quit coming to church, just wasn't that involved, was because she was choosing sin over God. Choosing sin over God. We can lose our spiritual edge because we choose sin. Not that we just kind of let it happen, we choose it actively over God. So like if you're in that place of like, I don't really, not that excited about church, whatever, be honest with yourself. Are you choosing sin over God? That's something that you need to think about and you need to wrestle with. Because in our story, Elisha did pull the axe head up from the bottom of the river. But he only did that after the student pointed to where it was lost. He was very specific. He said, I lost my axe head right here. This is where I lost it. So God knew where the axe head had landed, right? God knew where it had went. He wasn't like in the dark about it. But he still needed the student to be honest about where he lost the axe head. So in the same way, we need to be honest with God and with ourselves where we've lost our spiritual edge. So I want you to think about this for a second. What was that one event for you? What was it, a time in your life, an event you went through, a series of things that happened where you're like, this is the moment. This is the event that happened. This is where I lost my spiritual edge. So once we've been honest with ourselves about where we lost our edge, the second step is to, with God's help, take back what you lost. So there are a few other ways the story could have gone. One way is that the student is, you know, chopping down his tree, Mr. Macho Man. Axe head goes sailing into the river, and he kind of looks around and goes, did anybody see that? Nope. All right, cool. I'm going to set my axe head down, walk over here, dive in the water, swim around, try and carry this heavy piece of iron out of the water, tries to sneak it out himself. Probably struggles a lot because I can't imagine swimming with like a big, huge weight down there. So that's one way that it could have happened. So he could have tried to do it all on his own. And another way is that God could have just sent the axe head flying back into his hands without the student doing anything. But we see that it didn't happen either of those ways. It happened with a way in the middle. That God brought the axe head to the surface, but it took the student to reach down and pick it up. Because remember, God wants to help us find what we didn't mean to lose. And the moral here is that with God's help, we have to take our edge back. that we need God's help to get our edge back. We can't do it on our own. There's no way that any of us, I, could not swim to the bottom of a river and pull out a huge rock by myself. There's just no way that could happen. I need help. So in the same way, we need God's help to get our edge back, but we also have to take initiative to get it back. So our different versions for getting our spiritual edge back, for sharpening our axes, are going to look a little bit different depending on what the event was that pulled you away. It depends on where you lost your edge in the first place. So like imagine if one guy lost his axe head in a river and one guy lost his in a tree. Like there are two different ways to get those out. You wouldn't like lower a ladder into a raging river to pull a big rock out, right? Nor would you try and make an axe head float out of a tree. There are just different ways you get those down. So there's different ways that we need to take back what we've lost. So for me, like I said, I talked about busyness, me being just really way too busy. So one way that I got my spiritual edge back that I was able to deal with the situation was just to go to my boss and ask her for one day off every single week. Like a guaranteed day that I didn't work every single week. Which was kind of nerve-wracking, because if you've had a job and you've had to ask for time off, managers don't usually like that a whole lot. He's like, no, you can't have time off. You have to work all the time. But luckily, my manager, she was really awesome and really understood, and she was able to give me that day off every single week. So I have one guaranteed day where I get to rest. And like, there are some downfalls to that. You know, one is I get less money, right? Because I'm just at work less, so I'm getting paid a little bit less. And I'm getting less responsibility at the store because I asked for time off. But ultimately, I'm much more healthy now that I have that rest day. It is way better for me to have that day off because now I get to be way more intentional about how I spend time with God. It's way easier for me to focus in on that. I just get to sleep more. So that's really awesome that, you know, just to spend more time in bed, which I'm probably going to take a nap after today because lost an hour of sleep, kind of a big deal. So ultimately, that was the big step for me, was getting one day off and reducing my busyness. So for those of you who are too busy, I'm speaking directly to you now because you and I have similar issues here. But I want to let you know that it is okay to say no to things. It's okay to say no. I'm the person that says yes to everybody and everything. If you want something done, you might as well come ask me because I'm probably going to say yes, whether I'm actually able to do it or not. But it's okay to say no. It's okay to cut things out of your schedule. And it's really important to take time for yourself, just to relax and for you to spend time with God. That's really, really important. That's more important than anything else you're going to do. So working that into your schedule, creating a schedule around I need to spend time with God is really, really important. So say no to things. It's okay. I was reading a book recently, and the author, he was telling a story, and it was kind of a crazy concept, and he has a day called Quit Something Thursday. So it's as simple as that. Every single Thursday, he quits one thing. How many of you think that would be really hard for you? Yeah. I'm not even sure I could do that if I did that every Thursday for a month, right? But every single Thursday, he quits something. It's crazy, but it's effective for him because it makes him really focus on what's important and cut out a lot of things that don't really ultimately matter to him. So for those of you who struggle with being way too busy, I'm challenging you this week to say no to something or someone. Find it within yourself to say no and use that time intentionally to spend it with God. So some of you who've been sitting in the room are like, okay, I'm the dull knife. I need to get my edge back. I need to work on sharpening here. But others of you are like, Kyle, my edge is sharp, and I'm feeling good about it. I'm excited about church. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm actively pursuing a relationship with him. I feel like I have a sharp edge, and I'm so excited for you. That's awesome. I'm so glad you're in a place like that. It's great to be in a spot where you're pursuing Jesus like that. It's awesome. But I want you to think about this too, is that if you are that sharp knife or that sharp edge, there are dull knives around you. So be the knife, be the blade that sharpens them. Be the sharp knife that sharpens other knives. Go out and look this week. Who are some of your friends? Who are some of the people that you're closest to that you could just have an impact just by being around them? So look out for that. Not only is it just great to be a sharp knife and now we get to go home because that's wonderful, but be a sharp knife to others. Help sharpen others around you.